Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Triple Chalice Tarot Presents Interview with the Witches. I am your host, Tarufa Shah, accompanied by my lovely co-host, Aluna Odette.
Hi, everyone.
And tonight we have a very, very, very special guest. He is a Ifa priest diviner. He is a metaphysician. A witch doctor, he is a destiny coach, and a root worker. His name is Faso Tito. You can also find him on Instagram at Faso Tito. Okay, Faso Tito, welcome to our show.
Alafia, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure to have you.
Of course.
Okay.
Glad you can have you.
Yes, I'm very excited about it. It's good.
Yes. So let's get it started with the questions. Now, Faso Tito, I wanted to ask you, well, first of all, what does your name mean, Faso Tito? What does that mean?
It means Ifa speaks the truth. And it Yeah, so when you get initiated to Ifa, you get a name based on the divination that you're born under.
Okay.
So based
speaking
off
of Ifa, speaking of Ifa, can you go into your introduction to Ifa? How did you get into Ifa? What was your past into Ifa? Can you talk about that?
Well, I grew up in the Cuban tradition with my family, and growing up in Miami, I've been around mostly around Cuban tradition of Orisha Ifa worship. And it wasn't until later on, much later in life, I decided to get into the African tradition of Ifa. So it's been an interesting journey, definitely. It's taken me to Africa and back, and, you know. So
that's very interesting. So let me ask you, as far as the Western versus East Africa, well, Africa being in the East, tradition, what are some of the contrasting viewpoints? Are there any, or is it the same?
They have different approaches. Different philosophies that they go by. One of the differences that the Cuban tradition doesn't allow women to get initiated or homosexuals. In Africa, they do initiate women to be Ifa priestess, and then in regions they do allow homosexuals to be initiated as well into Ifa priesthood. So it's different.
So for some of our listeners who aren't familiar with the Ifa system or Yoruba as a tradition, because everyone's always pretty much curious about, like, well, what sort of spiritual system is it? So could you talk a little bit about the system as a whole? What deities do you guys worship? What are they called?
To clarify a little bit more, there is some type of weird contradiction. I don't know why, but the Orisha tradition, the Cuban Orisha tradition, does initiate homosexuals and women into their system, the Orisha worshiping aspect of it. But Ifa is separate from the Orisha worshiping priesthood component. So you have Orisha priest, and then you have Ifa priest. Ifa priests are more like the masters of ceremonies in a way. They're the custodians of the Orishas. So it's a more in-depth study than the Orisha priest. The Orisha priests are more like specializing, more of a specialist kind of component.
So what are the Orishas?
Orishas Different aspects of what they say God, Olodumare. So they represent different manifestations of the Almighty. So the Orishas are used to align someone's destiny so they can manifest prosperity and health and these other positive attributes that a person that we all strive for a lot of times. So I don't remember.
Okay.
I thought you asked me another question before, but I can't remember now. So that's what I can say about that. Where did that question?
Okay, so I have a question. I wanted to kind of clarify. So an Ifa priest is basically someone who has knowledge of all of the Orishas, and an Orisha priest is somebody who specializes in one Orisha. Is that what the difference is?
Yeah, specifically, yeah, one. They'll get initiated to one Orisha at a time, and they'll go more in depth with that particular Orisha.
Okay.
Ifa priests focus on divination. That's their focus. Not
okay.
That Orisha priests don't divine. They do divine. They do different types of divination. But Ifa divination is a more in-depth form of...
Okay.
Ifa, Rumila is seen as the god of divination. So they refer to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now going into initiation, must one be initiated to work with the Orishas, or can anyone work with the Orishas? How does that work? Because a lot of people, you know, say, well, you can't work with them unless you're initiated. But then other people who are not initiated, they feel like they have a connection to a certain Orisha. What is the truth? Can you really work with the Orisha and not be initiated, or is it mandatory? Because it's confusing listening to different people.
Well, work is a loaded word. In the tradition, when you say work, it's usually referred to ceremony and ritual. So that word can be taken a little bit out of context. What I would say is that you could worship the Orisha without getting initiation. You know, you can, if you feel connected to a certain Orisha, you could go set up a little altar for that Orisha and venerate that Orisha. You could do that. You could request for certain things to happen in your life with that Orisha. If you feel connected to Oshun, you can go to the river and give Oshun honey and fruits and ask for things to come. And I'm pretty much sure that prayers could be answered and manifested in that way.
Wow.
But in terms of
okay.
work is like what they refer to certain formulas, certain practices that are traditionally done. So if you're going to do ceremonies that are traditionally done, I would say you do need to be initiated. Because it's the age of the internet. So there's full on ceremonies and rituals that you can get off the internet now. You know, so rituals that are for initiates should stick for initiates. But, you know, people can work with the Orisha or the voodoo, which they call in the Dahomey system. You could easily work with these energies if you approach them with respect and, you know, are guided by spirit to do that.
Okay, so as far as like a initiation, the initiation process, how long does it normally take? Is it a few months, a few years? What does it normally entail?
Different traditions do different things. Different lineages do different things. I know Ifa initiations could take as little as 3 days, and some can extend for 17 days. You know, so
it doesn't really take years then.
Well, initiations is the actual ceremony. It's the actual ceremony that you go, that they expose you to these energies.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I think the Lukumi tradition for Orisha initiation, I think there's a 7 days, 7 main days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really intense because, you know, it ain't like you're watching TV or anything like that. They see it as a process of you being born again. So,
wow. So like a spiritual baptism.
Yes, yes, in a way. But it's more like a marriage. You're getting married to the spirit.
Okay, so now here's another interesting question. Now, there are a lot of people that obviously take up the Yoruba tradition and, like Tarouk was saying, work with different Orishas. Is the religion only tied to those of African lineages, or can, you know, someone from Norway or Iceland come and take up, you know, the Yoruba tradition? Do these Orishas walk with other cultures as well?
Yeah, well, these energies are pretty universal in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Some will argue that they're not, but yes, anybody of any race, ethnicity can practice these traditions, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I have a question. Earlier you brought up voodoo and things like that, so can you, for those listeners who really don't know and they kind of want to group everything together, can you speak on the differences between voodoo and Ifa and even Santeria? Are they the same? Do they come from the same family, or are they different from each other? Like, what is it?
I would say they're different in the sense that the traditions are different. They change. Their views will change, you know, like Ifa, you know, it kind of became something different in a lot of ways in Cuba. In Haiti, it came from Dahomey, which it's the voodoo system. But then when it came to Haiti, they call it the Laos. They end up calling their deities Laos instead of voodoos. But in Africa, they call the deities voodoos. In Yoruba land, they call them Orisha. And some deities are in these different lands. Like Ogun, the god of war and iron, he's in Dahomey, and he has the same name, though. Eshu is also in Yoruba land and in Dahomey, but he's called Legba. So I would say, you know, we could say what's different about him. That's more like an anthropological class, but I would say the energies are pretty the same. It's just the cultural approaches will be slightly different, I would say. And these traditions are changing little by little. You know, Islam and Christianity is still influencing these practices in Africa also.
Right,
you know,
right.
Some regions tend to be a little bit more homophobic than others. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's one of these things. You know, but there's parts in Africa where the Orisha and Yoruba traditions are not homophobic and they accept gays and, you know, they're okay with it. So, you know, it changes from lineage to lineage, from village to village. So, you know.
Okay. I have a question. So, you know, what's really popular in the West is a lot of people divine through using tarot cards. So what is a way that an Ifa diviner sort of uses? What sort of tools do they use to read? Do they use cards? Do they use oracles? Do they use shells?
That's a very interesting question because for the most part, they do use Okwele, which is a divining chain.
Mm-hmm.
And then they use the Ikin. The Ikin are the actual the sacred palm nuts of Ifa, and they look like black little coconuts, and they use that to do the divination also. They pound the Ikin to get certain Odu markings, but in Africa, I've heard of people putting a straight cowrie shell to their ear, you know, and they'll
mm-hmm.
listen. And then others, a lot of women, the Afa voodoo system, they use a mirror, and they'll look at the mirror to read the Odus.
Wow,
so,
I like that.
In the West here, when it comes to Ifa, we pretty much know the divining chain and the Ikin are the two primary forms of divination. But in Africa, there's different approaches to that.
Okay.
The Orisha priests use cowrie shells. They use a certain number of cowrie shells to divine, and that cowrie shell system was given by Ifa to the Orisha priest to use.
Okay. Well, my question for you is, somebody who, let's say, doesn't know about this, the cowrie shells or the more traditional African ways of divination, can, let's say, a westernized witch who, let's just say she has a connection to Oshun and Obatala and Oya, can she use a tarot deck? Can she use a scrying mirror? Can she use a crystal ball? Can she use like a bowl with the dark, a black bowl with water? Can she use these more westernized divination tools to connect to the Orishas? Or does it have to be, the traditional way? Because I have heard people, say, well, they can't come to you that way. You have to do it like this. It has to be a strict way. So can a westernized, non-initiated, non-traditional witch, let's say, use more westernized divination tools to connect to the Orishas?
I would say that they can, to a certain degree, they can. The thing is with these traditions, what they're trying to do is they're using certain formulas that actually work. These are generations and generations of formulas of approaching the Orisha and the Ifa system. If someone's deciding to work with the Orisha in a way that isn't traditional, they're kind of starting from scratch. So they're kind of like going about it in the dark about dealing with these certain Orishas. So
do you think that could be dangerous?
Could be, yes, because certain Orishas have certain taboos. You shouldn't offer them certain foods and stuff like that because their energies don't resonate. Like, for example, Abatala, is taboo for Abatala to have palm wine. And if someone doesn't know what they're doing and they're offering Abatala palm wine, that could create an issue.
Like, what could happen?
I was going to say, what are some of the consequences that comes from angering these spirits?
Be honest.
Right.
It's loaded. I would say even in Africa, if an Orisha, because that's what I've been trained in, if a certain Orisha is angered, it could lead to death in certain aspects. It could.
Mm.
But someone doesn't have to be working with the Orisha to anger the situation. And it's not really about angering a god or a deity. It's about the person really having a conflicting issue with their own destiny. So it's really somebody doing something in their life that isn't aligned with their destiny that agitates their own spirits to cause that. So it's really ignorance by the person that causes death by Orisha.
So Ifa is there to reveal
enlightenment to the client.
The listeners, like, the craziest story then of, like, an Orisha just really laying him and causing havoc. Have you ever heard of a situation like that or witnessed one yourself?
I've always heard stories. There's mm-hmm. stories of people going crazy or insane or what have you. Me personally, when you're doing divination, you're going to the root of the problem. And if Orisha is causing a problem to somebody, like, for example, Ogun can come up in a reading that comes up pretty often. And when you're dealing with that Orisha that comes up, usually that person is either getting, backstabbed by certain people, because Orisha in the mythology, Ogun in the mythology, he ends up getting backstabbed by the other Orisha.
Mm.
Like, they used him to get his technology of iron out of him. And then when they once once they got his technology from him and used him, they took away his crown of being king of the Orishas. So then Ogun turned around and decided to say, you know what, F y'all, I didn't want to be a king anyways. You know what I mean? He left the kingdom, right? So a lot of times when that comes up, that people who come up with that sign a lot, it could be signifying that it's a person being used a lot without even knowing, because Ogun is a very giving Orisha, hardworking, giving Orisha. So I would say that that's something that comes up a lot. People get used a lot, and they're not realizing that this can happen. And, of course, someone can be used to the point where death happens, right?
Mm.
Like someone, you can get into a relationship with somebody, you get hooked on, you know, drugs, and, you know, the person forces you or lures you to use drugs so you could be their puppet. You see that very easy, and when people are trying to pimp other people for sex and stuff like that, they'll seduce them with drugs and use them, and, you know, and then that person's life is ended because they were just used up, you know. So so this is, you know, these things happen because of a person's ignorance to what's going on in their own life. It's not so much the spirits are angered. Yes, the spirits are agitated, but only for your own good. You know, it's not like these entities are so selfish and they just want to wreak havoc and cause evil destruction on people. It's really our ignorance is that causes this agitation, this misalignment.
Okay. Now, I wanted to ask you a question, which I have always been observant about, and that is the use of the Catholic saints when it comes to worshiping the Orishas. You know, because the origin of the Catholic saints being used was, you know, when the African slaves came to the Caribbean, you know, to Cuba, Dominican Republic, to Haiti, Puerto Rico, and things of that nature. You know, the slave master, they wanted to forcefully convert the African slaves into Catholicism and Christianity. So the slaves found a way to synchronize the saints in order to secretly worship the Orishas. Now, what do you think about people in the modern age? See, now that oppression is no longer needed, you know, there, in a way, the Catholic saint image is not needed. You know, you can go back and worship the original and deity. What do you think of people worshiping or still using the quote-unquote, like, whitewashed Catholic saints, you know, which are European white-looking figures, when the original is an African deity?
Yeah, I understand. It's an interesting question because there's this book by Awande Obimbola. He wrote a book called Ifa Will Mend Our Broken World Together Again. And he's a Ifa representative of Nigeria here in the United States. And he's taught at Harvard and these other prestigious schools. And in his book, he even says that there's no problem. He sees no problem with Cubans using the Catholic saints as representation of the Orisha. Because in the end, when they see the statue, they see that Orisha. It's an icon as a symbolic representation of that icon. It's not like the Catholics, actual Catholic saint became the African deity. No, they see the statue, they see the African deity. They don't see anything else. And I agree with him. I don't see a problem with that. You know, when Cubans started coming into Miami and they started using the Taoist pantheon as a way to synchronize their Orishas into the Taoist divinities. So there isn't a problem with it. You know, it ain't like they're mixing identities of the Catholic saints with the African deity. You know, they see it purely as an African deity. So, you know, it's all depends on what people see. You know, if people in the New World get inspired by Storm, the X-Men, you know, she had a lot of qualities of Oya. She has a lot of qualities of Oyad. You know, they can easily, someone can take that representation and put a statue of Storm next to their Oyad if they feel so. The important thing is that people feel inspired to practice their Orisha, you know. But of course, you know, they should ask their Orisha if they want something like that next to their their Oyad shrine, you know. So, it's these things.
Okay. Aluna, do you have a question?
My mind just went a blank. I was totally thinking about Storm.
I have one more question, which is very important, and I wanted to ask this before, you know, we end the show. Can you please speak about the ancestors? The ancestors are you know, extremely important in the Ifa, in the Voodoo, you know, all of the West African traditions. Speak about the importance of venerating the ancestors and how important ancestor worship is in the Ifa tradition. Is it very important, you know? Can you speak on that?
Yes, it is. It is. It's very important. A lot of Orisha Ifa practitioners tend to put aside the ancestors a lot of times. And, you know, they think it's only about Orisha Ifa. You know, it's ancestor worship is the foundation to these practices. And a lot of people kind of neglect that, or they lose sight of that. And they just want to go ahead and just quickly want to worship the divinities. And, you know, that's fine. You know, everyone has their different approaches. But at the same time, we can't forget our ancestors, because really our ancestors are always there working with us 24/7. And it's important that we appease those ancestors so enlightened ancestors could be around us constantly and not have ignorant spirits around us, per se.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Ifa Orisha tradition, especially in the African tradition, Egun is a collective body of ancestors. It's not just one ancestor. So when you communicate with your ancestors, you're communing with the whole legion of enlightened ancestors. If you're not in constant communication with your ancestors, you know, kind of being exposed to unenlightened ancestors in a way, you know. And that's where a lot of people say, oh, you're angering the ancestors. It's really out of ignorance that people would end up putting themselves in situations with their own ancestors in a way that not so good things start happening. But someone can become very prosperous alone just working with their ancestors in life, you know. And
what are some ways for, you know, people to get into working with their ancestors? For someone who's never, you know, who's just hearing this for the first time and they're like, okay, well, how do I talk to them? What are some exercises or practices that they can do?
A very basic, simple approach is just to have a glass of water and a white candle and just pray for the enlightened ancestors to come, you know. Do that with a lot of faith and feel ancestors coming to you and feel their presence, you know. It's also important to say thank you for them giving you a life in this world, because without them, you know, we wouldn't be here. Give them thanks for having things in your life that a lot of people in this world don't have. And that's very basic, you know. Later on, you can evolve your practice to putting a dream book interpretation next to, you know, your glass cup and candle. You might want to put pictures of your ancestors later on, but it doesn't have to be that complicated. It could be as simple as a glass of water and a white candle, and that's it. Things will start rolling. Believe me, it will.
Well, I'm going to have to get started on that then. Well, we're at the 15-minute half of the last 15 minutes of our show, so I wanted to ask if you would do a general reading for us.
Okay. Well, I could do that. So I'm going to divine on what are the approaches that people, our listeners, should do when approaching Orisha worship, and how that should go about in terms of, this can come up as something inspiring, what are some of the challenges, or anything like that. So let's see.
That'll be perfect.
Okay, so the Odu that came up is Ogbe Iroshin, and this Odu talks about opening a path. It's an open path because Ogbe is all facing up. They're all facing up. It's also talking about not to rush into things too much, not to be too aggressive, not to be too aggressive in trying to approach Orisha worship. Take your time. Always, it's that symbology of eating fish. You know, picture it, when you're eating fish, it's bit by bit. If you eat a big bite of a fish, you can choke on its thorns. It's a sharp bone. So that's the visualization of it. When you eat rat, well, they eat bush rat in Africa, you got to do it little by little because the bones can choke you. So this is a process that needs to be done slowly with time, because Obe is that very excited, very impulsive, like, let's get this done, you know, jump in the pool, you know, at this, people just want to jump right in it, and it's the energies are saying we should just walk into the water little by little. It shouldn't be like
interesting.
It shouldn't be like this cannonball effect into the water kind of thing. As a result, this will lead us to having great fulfillment of potential. So the way we can become fulfilled in our potential is to approach things little by little, not rushing into things. Learning how to walk before we run, not trying to, you know, trying to do things that are not at our level.
Yeah.
So, and being humble about that. Because sometimes we might get a little cocky and, you know, some people might think, well, you know, I got this really inspired thing about, I'm just going to make my own tradition of Orisha tradition and initiate people into my own type of Orisha worship, you know? So it's like, it's kind of like saying,
that doesn't sound very smart.
Yeah, it's also asking people to be very cautious about approaching certain lineages, certain traditions. Mm. Take your time. Do not rush into things when looking for godparents or godparents or teachers within the tradition. It should be done little by little. Little by little, let things reveal themselves to you, because if not, you know, you don't want to choke on a bunch of fishbone, you know.
And with that,
you know, people will get a nourishment from that. You know, people will fulfill their potentials that they're looking for. They just take their time. Take your time with this.
Right. So what are some good resources for a beginner to read up on, research on? Is it books or is it more watching something on YouTube? How will they, like, what's the beginning start?
I would say read a lot of books, get familiarized with a lot of books, understand that there's different approaches, there's different ways, you know, there's a number of ways that these practices do different things, and be aware of that. Because sometimes people come into these traditions and then they realize that other traditions do it differently, and then they become insecure about what they're learning, you know? Mm-hmm. So we're living in a new age where people do different things. I'm not for internet learning. You know, this is a lineage that has to be very hands-on and learning through experiences. But, you know, people can start by definitely reading, you know, checking out certain people on social media, seeing what they're doing, what they're talking about, having open dialogue. You know, I would say try to avoid teachers that are very hesitant to answer questions. You know, that's a very old practice that, especially from the Cuban tradition, that they kind of shun on people asking questions. You should never be too intimidated to ask your teachers questions. Don't let anybody intimidate you to not ask questions. That's very important. Asking questions is very important. So, yeah, get out there and ask questions. Go out there, meet some priests. Ask some questions to some priest, you know, hey, what's all those definitely, beads? What is this about, you know? Talk to people.
Yeah.
Like what y'all doing, you know? You got me on the show.
Yeah.
Hey, what is this about, you know? Like,
Exactly. And my last question to you is just a question. You know how many people will probably have their first initial question, which is, how do I find out which Orisha walks with? How do I find out which Orisha is assigned to me? So how do we do that?
In the lineage that I'm learning from right now, you get a hand of Ifa. And a hand of Ifa is the beginning steps of knowing your destiny. And then with that, you get a divination done, and you get a marking. Based on that marking, certain Orishas are born from those markings, from that Odu. And then from there, they'll start divining which Orisha is assigned to you based off of those Odus that are born out of your hand of Ifa. So hand of Ifa is a very simple yet effective ceremony that an Ifa priest gives in order for the person to know which Orisha is assigned to them. So that way they can begin their destiny, and they can later on, if they want to get initiated to that priest, they can, or if they can become a priest of that Orisha or that voodoo, they can also. So that's how they do it in the African tradition. You know, they can read your Orisha till you get your hand of Ifa. The Cuban tradition does that also. That is, well, you know, a good solid foundation way to find out.
Okay. Right. Aluna, do you have any last questions?
No, I don't. I think the show was excellent. I'm
thank
glad
you.
That we were able to bring such, you know, a new perspective, a little spin, mix a little chocolate up in here. That's what we're doing. Bring it to that awesome to the show.
Thank you.
No problem. It was absolutely.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna
ask Fasotito. I like saying his name because it makes me bring my Spanish out. Fasotito.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay, Fasotito, can you tell the listeners how they can contact you, how they could reach you, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram. You know, Fasotito. That's Fasotito on Instagram. Or they can email me at awofasotito@gmail.com. So awofasotito@gmail.com. One word, awofasotito. Hello?
Perfect.
I'm like, I thought you were
perfect.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So do you want to close it out, Tarouk?
Definitely. Well, this was an amazing show. Extremely informative. You know, I think we got all the answers to all the questions that a basic person who, you know, knew nothing of Ifa, now you guys know something. Now you guys have a little bit of something to carry with you if you find any interest in this, you know, extremely ancient, beautiful African tradition, you know. And yeah, next week we will have another witch to interview. Very excited. You know, thank you to everyone who has been on the show so far. You guys have brought so much knowledge and wisdom, you know, to everyone who's listening, you know. So
all
I'm
right,
very
thank
thankful
you.
To everyone.
That's awesome, yeah.
Thank you, and thank
great.
You. I'm honored
work,
to have you
the
on
the work
show.
You guys are doing is awesome. This beautiful work you guys are doing.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Thank you so much.
Okay, we try,
so
we try.
Yeah, we try.
Yeah.
All right, well, with that, I wish you guys all an amazing evening. Once again, I am your host, Taruk, accompanied by Aluna.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.